This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Chris Vendilli from ProFromGo.com. I've got Tom Kolzer on the line. He's the creator and founder of a company called AWeber, which is located right here in the same state as me, and that's Pennsylvania. It's basically an email marketing company that gives you lots of tools and options for your marketing campaigns and makes life much easier for us internet marketers. So, Tom, I'd like to welcome you to the call. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for having me today, Chris.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about your background and maybe a little bit about your bio, how you got started?
Sure. I got started in the world of the internet. This summer actually marks our 10-year anniversary of the founding of AWeber. I was online for quite a few years before that, but kind of what wrapped around the founding of AWeber was I was doing some sales for a hardware company based out of Ohio for connecting to the internet wirelessly, and this was before you could whip out your iPhone or your PDA and connect your laptop up to, you know, Verizon's network. It just didn't work like that back then, probably, what was that, about 11 years ago or so now, 11, 12 years. And we were generating a lot of leads for this hardware company, and what ended up happening is most of the sales guys that were generating these leads through their websites weren't following up with any of their leads. So what I ended up doing was I'm like, well, people are lazy. Computers will do stuff automatically. So I had a bit of a programming background, and I created a program to specifically follow up with some sales messages about this hardware product to kind of teach people a little bit more about different uses of it, you know, how much it costs, the warranty, all the kind of common questions that you get asked during the sales process. But it was being sent automatically to those people that had requested it. And it worked amazingly well. And we were selling a lot of modems. And the problem was that the company wasn't shipping any of the modems because they were having supply chain issues and some other things going on there. So we weren't getting paid like we were supposed to be. I was in college back then and decided, I'm not getting paid by this company. I'm going to kind of focus back on college again. So I was a mechanical engineer in school and ended up switching to a finance major and was focusing on school when all these guys that I was working with before started approaching me and saying, hey, we really want this sequential follow-up thing, that email follow-up thing that you were doing for this other company. We've now gone on to these other companies. So I'm like, well, it doesn't exist out there. There's no product out there on the market that does that. And it only took a couple dozen. I was focusing on school, trying to get through school, and it only took a couple of dozen people coming to me saying, we'd pay for that if you made something that we could use for these other companies that we're with. And the broke college kid in me said, hey, that's a good idea. I should do that. And through the course of about 6 to 9 months, I started what has become AWeber and created a generic version that allows businesses to go in and set up a sequence of follow-up messages. And that's all we did back in the day. Of course, we do a lot more now, but back in the day, that's all we did. And that was kind of how AWeber was born. It was a specific application that I developed for one company. Ended up leaving them, went on to do our own thing, and all these people said, hey, this worked great. I want it too. So I kind of stumbled on a really good business idea and didn't really realize it at the time, but obviously have realized the potential of that, and we've, you know, now on our 10th year this summer. So
I guess you really know that you found a hot niche when people come tracking you down, asking to buy things off of you that you're not even selling.
Absolutely. When people are begging you to buy something that you don't have for sale, you've probably got a good niche.
I agree. Now, I'm curious, how did it get the name AWeber?
Originally, through the development process, we were calling it the Automated Web Assistant because it was. You know, you go to a website, it would sign you up automatically, and it was really doing a whole bunch of stuff for you automatically. It was kind of like having an assistant for you. And so that's what we were calling it. And just, you know, in the back and forth with beta testers and such that I had testing it, it just kind of got shortened to AWeber. And domain name was available. We thought it was kind of catchy, and a few searches on it, because this was actually before Google was around. A couple of Yahoo searches and Microsoft searches came up with no one else was using that. So I was like, yeah, it sounds like a good company name, and it kind of stuck. So
it's very memorable. I like it. Now, developing a program to serve someone's need and then getting into this whole new world of email marketing, which I would imagine wasn't, you know, very prevalent at the time, or if it was, it was in the very early days where people were using a lot of spam tactics. How did you kind of get your foot, go from dipping your toe into the water to diving right in to email marketing and learning all about, you know, the ins and outs of this business?
Well, email marketing was definitely in its infancy back in the day. You know, we were still very, very big on permission-based email marketing, making sure that we were only sending email to those who had specifically requested it. There was a fair amount of spam going around on the day and on the internet back then, but that wasn't something that we had. We've always had very, very strict policies against any sort of thing like that. We do a lot of customer audits and have a lot of policies and procedures in place to make sure our customers are doing everything above board. But it, you know, email marketing back in the day was a lot easier than it is now, from a service provider standpoint. From a customer standpoint, from a client standpoint, email marketing is still very much the same thing of setting your expectations for what you're going to send people, both in frequency and content, meaning what are you going to send people, why do I want to be on your list, as well as how frequently are you going to send me an email. So it's something that, you know, it's changed over time, and there, you know, you have to deal with filters and all this other kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, it's a really, really simple equation. Set the expectations for what you're going to send people, and they'll be happy to receive it. You know, make sure there's some value in there, and they're going to be happy to receive that. So that, you know, the base principle hasn't changed over time. Lots of other stuff has, but that's really, you don't really get into that until you get much larger. So,
Now, can you go over a few of the other tools and scripts and even some of the email marketing services out there, including AWeber as well as some of your competition, and highlight a few of the pros and cons of each? Like, I know personally I've had experience with one or two, like, PHP-based scripts where, you know, you install them on your own web host or your own server, and then, you know, it kind of gives you like a little admin panel, and people can opt in and ask for permission. And for the most part, they seem to work, but, you know, sometimes they get little glitches, and the whole thing crashes, and you lose your list. And I've had some nightmares with them, too. So I was hoping maybe, you know, from your advanced perspective, you could go over a few of those things for us.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of stuff that we do on a daily basis, and even an hourly basis, to make sure our customer's email gets delivered, that, you know, things like a script aren't necessarily going to do for you. You know, at the end of the day, what we do, you know, we develop software, but also a big part of what we're doing is education and administrative aspect of that software, making sure, you know, IPs are whitelisted with appropriate ISPs, that we have, you know, feedback loops set up with them, so we have lines of communication with various ISPs. There's a whole bunch of technical jargon that, you know, most people don't need to know about, but things like SPF and sender ID and domain keys, things like that, that when you're running a script on your own, you really become the administrator of your own email program, whereas, you know, our customers, they need to know the basics of, you know, creating an email message and how to hit send and, you know, setting the expectation. They need to know more of the marketing and business end of building a list, whereas they don't need to know any of the technical end of what it takes to manage a mail server, you know, and how fast you can send emails at various places, and, you know, what happens when your script goes, you know, runs into a bug or something like that. That's things that we handle here, and that's the whole difference between a script you buy once and you install on your server. You're then paying out of pocket for somebody to administer that for you, for, you know, you have to have the necessary technical knowledge to, you know, to set up all of those technical things that go along with email delivery these days, and then monitor and make sure that you're not running into any issues. Whereas a service such as AWeber, that's what you're paying us to do. At the same time, you're also paying us to keep up on the current trends and policies out there, you know, associated laws, and kind of guide you along the right way and make sure that you're aware of what's going on out there in the marketplace so that you can adjust the business aspects of your marketing.
I would venture to guess that being your own administrator can get kind of time-consuming and take away from the things you should really be focusing on as well.
Exactly. You know, do you want to be an email list administrator, or do you want to run your business? And you can't be building your business if all you're doing is working on the infrastructure to build your business. Do what you know, and we'll do what we know. And that's we outsource certain aspects of our we outsource our payroll. I don't want to be a payroll specialist, so we outsource that. In the same way that you don't set up your own telephone lines to make phone calls for your business, so you outsource that to the phone company. It's the same kind of thing. You outsource what you don't know to the experts that do. And that's really the key to the long-term growth. And, we have the resources to be able to grow as your business grows and as your lists grow, to be able to manage that over time, whereas you may have to upgrade servers and all that kind of stuff. We're doing all that behind the scenes on a daily basis so that you don't have issues with that. In the same sense that, when you go with a larger provider, we have redundant servers so that if things, we don't have just have one server. We have 60 servers. So it's, it's that constant growth process that we do behind the scenes and that constant everyday work. There's 29-plus people here, and we don't all sit around twiddling our thumbs all day long, So there's a lot that goes on to getting customers' email delivered.
I can imagine you guys stay pretty busy. Your phone analogy actually reminded me of a Chris Farley quote from one of his movies where he was I think he was selling brake pads, and he said something like, "Do you really want to stick your head up a cow's butt to see if you're going to get a good T-bone when you could really just take the butcher's word for it?" Seems like a good way to put it. Now, in addition to having to be an administrator if you decide to run your own script and all that stuff, I know that's pretty time-consuming. But on top of all that, you also got to worry about, rules, regulations, restrictions, and governing agencies who kind of oversee all this email marketing to make sure you're keeping it, ethical and legal. So can you go over, some of those rules, regs, and, some of the restrictions and those agencies that you deal with in your daily,
Well, the main thing that you have to really look at from the business perspective of managing an opt-in list is just that, making sure that you're only sending email to those that have specifically requested it. It's a really, really simple equation. Don't send email to people that haven't requested it from you, meaning don't buy lists, don't get your list from your chamber of commerce. Those people haven't requested information from you, and adding them to a list would be a very, very bad idea. There's a lot of issues with the laws and regulations in the on the federal and state level and so forth, because most of them almost make it legal to send spam as long as you follow certain rules. But at the end of the day, you don't want to send unsolicited email because you're going to get blocked everywhere. So it's not so much that there's laws regulating email marketing, it's more the regulations of ISPs. You don't want to be sending email that has not been requested. And even to go further than that, you don't want to send email that people don't want, meaning they might have requested it before, but if you all, if somebody signs up for golf tips and you all of a sudden start sending them diet tips, they probably aren't going to want that anymore, and they're going to complain about that to the ISP, and your email deliverability is going to suffer as a result of that. Some of the really basic aspects of what some of the rules and regulations are is make sure you're only sending to people who specifically requested it. You need to have a postal address in any kind of commercial message that you're out sending out, and that is something that you need to be able to receive postal mail to and be able to unsubscribe somebody from within a few days. The other thing is you need to have a method for people to unsubscribe, either instructions on how to unsubscribe or a link that they can click on to unsubscribe in the message. And it needs to be an obvious link. You can't bury it and make it a one pixel font that people can't see. So you don't want, as to create the business value in an opt-in list and create the reputation and trust with your subscribers, you don't want to do tricky things to try to get people on your list. You don't want to do things to try to keep them on your list. Somebody wants off your list, by all means, have them unsubscribe, because it's far better than having them complain to their ISP about that message because, they can't figure out how to unsubscribe. Traditionally, most businesses put the unsubscribe link at the bottom of their messages. And we're seeing a growing trend these days of businesses putting the link at the top of the message so that If somebody opens it and they say, I don't want this anymore, it's really easy and obvious for them to get off the list. At the end of the day, someone that's on your list that doesn't want to be in there, on there anymore is far more harmful than being able to have the ego of saying, well, I have, you know, this many subscribers on my list. People, businesses and business owners need to get over the ego thing of having these gigantic lists. I'd much rather have 500 people who like, are angry if I don't send them an email versus having, you know, 10,000 or 50,000 people that get upset when I do send them an email. You only want people on your list that really, really want your information. So there's kind of multiple angles to how you approach those things. But at the end of the day, send email to those who want it.
That's a good rule to live by for an email marketer. Now, for someone who's just starting out, we kind of covered a little bit of the background as far as, like, you know, the rules and regulations of this business and, you know, how your infrastructure works a little bit. But now I want to kind of shift the focus on, you know, the people who might be listening to this call and they're just getting started with email marketing campaigns and they're, you know, they're getting ready to build their first list and they don't really have any of the steps in place quite yet, but they do know that they want to start doing an email marketing campaign. What are a few baseline considerations they should keep in mind when they're you know, still in the development phase and forming their plan of attack for their first email marketing campaign?
Well, when they're formatting or when they're kind of developing that plan initially, we see a lot of customers kind of get hung up on what do I put in my emails? What is it that I send people? And you want to remember, provide value with what it is that you're sending. Don't just have someone sign up for a list and send them sales pitch after sales pitch after sales pitch. People are coming to your website, especially if they're purchasing a product. They're probably doing research about those products. Let's take the real estate industry, for example. If somebody comes to a website, they're probably looking for information on, you know, home loans. They might be looking for information on finding a home. Now, what do you do when you're purchasing a home? You're also looking for information about the school districts that are around there, the neighborhoods, maybe your crime rates, you know, all those different things that you consider when you're evaluating a home. But a lot of real estate agents approach the transactions simply from, I've got this house, here it is, buy it. Whereas you could be using the sequential follow-up, you know, a series of emails to educate people about why they want to purchase in that area. You know, how home values have increased over years, how the school district is really good, how there's very low crime there, you know, all of these available employers in the area that are constantly hiring, you know, how to get a mortgage, and things like that, that you can provide education around the home buying process so that when somebody comes back and says, well, I need a real estate agent, they're going to say, oh, well, Sally educated me an awful lot about the area and about the school districts and about, you know, all the houses that are available and how to get a loan and how not to get ripped off on getting a loan. You know, and I've never even talked to her before. All I've gotten were these emails from her. Who do you think you're going to call? You're going to call the person that spent the time to educate you. But at the same time, Sally has set all that up so that it's all automatic and it's being sent out automatically. And it's just kind of evergreen content that doesn't really have to be updated all that often. And it's doing that sales process for you automatically. Very frequently, you're already having these kinds of communications with the visitors to your website. If you have your email address on your website, you're probably getting questions from visitors to your website. And the best place to look for content to create your follow-up series or to create a newsletter is to look in your email program sent folder. You've already written the kinds of responses that you're writing to prospects to your website are exactly the kind of content that you want to put in your follow-up process. And just a simple copy and paste is very often all that you need, and you know, a little tweak here and there, but you know, is all that you need to create that follow-up process. But for somebody getting going, the bare minimum that you want to absolutely do, put one message in your sequence. Get one email created, because you can get one email created and get the form on your website, and you're going to start building your list. You know, you're not going to have a whole lot of you're not going to be real excited about creating and spending a little bit of time to create this follow-up sequence if you don't have any leads coming into the process. You know what I mean? It's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. So you want to have just one message, get the form on the site, and then you get some leads coming in there, and you say, oh, I'm going to create some messages to write back to, you know, Jeff, Bob, and Chris that opted into my list today. And now you've got something to focus on, and remember that you're communicating with that, you know, you're just communicating with Bob that requested your information, not a huge giant list of 1,000 people. So you want to always keep your tone of your message there, but create one message, because one is better than nothing, and put the form on your website. And when you put the form on your website, make sure that you put the form on your homepage. Put it in the navigation on your sidebar. And when I say put the form there, I mean put the actual box for the name and the email and the submit button for them to sign up right on the page. Don't link to it on another page and have this subscribe form all on its own page. Because what happens is you now have to convert, you know, you have to have people take two actions to get on your list. They have to click on the link to get to your newsletter page. They have to read about the value of being on your list. And then they have to make the decision to opt in. Whereas if you put the form right on the page, they're seeing the value that's there because you've got a headline or something that's encouraging them to sign up there. And you're much more likely to get much greater number of subscribers there. So we have a recent example of somebody that I was working with just last week, actually. And he has a lot of traffic to his website. And he was getting anywhere from 5 to maybe 15 subscribers a day on a really, really good day. But what happened was he had his subscribe form was just a link in his navigation. It said subscribe at the top, and it took you to a page where he could, you know, opt into his newsletter. And what I encouraged him to do was get rid of that page entirely and just put the subscribe form right on his homepage. And guess how many subscribers he's getting now on a daily basis? Anywhere from 70 to 100 a day. You know, so he went from 5 to 15 to 70 plus per day. And you know, keep in mind, he's got a good amount of traffic, but you can see the difference in just putting the subscribe form somewhere where people see it versus just having a link. So
now, the next thing I was going to ask you about is, like, a few of the things you can do to actually, you know, start implementing your email marketing campaign once you got your plan of attack all prepared. But you kind of already highlighted that for me, and you basically just said, you know, get your subscribe forms up, get that first email, you know, queued up in your follow-up sequence. So I'm just going to kind of skip over that because you already covered it pretty well.
All right.
The next thing I wanted to ask you about is, now you mentioned this guy's got a list of, you know, 70 to 100 fresh leads coming in every single day. Can you give us a couple tips or a little insider's advice on how we can keep our lists growing steadily and consistently even after we do, you know, something like a product launch and after the site's up and running? How can we keep people opting in?
Well, you want to make sure that, you're providing value. And why does someone want to be on my list? Because it really, it's an exchange. It's an exchange of value. They're giving you their personal information, their name and email address, in order to get on your list. What are you going to give them in return for that? You know, most people know that when they type in a name and email, they're probably going to get a sales pitch at some point. But you also want to make sure that you're providing some value. And that's where we really approach the follow-up process or any sort of newsletter as an education tool that leads to sales. You know, I'm not saying don't ask for the sale ever, but I'm saying provide some education, provide some value for why, you know, people use the web to educate themselves and to learn more about different products and services, businesses, and so forth. So you want to educate them about that process so that they can be more informed consumers, and that when they're ready, you know, they trust you more and are ready to, you know, hopefully pull out their credit card on your website and not one of your competitors who didn't follow up with them. So, you know, keeping leads coming in is really just about, you know, providing that value and then having a form in a really obvious place. And that's really the best way to, you know, obviously you need some traffic to your site, but that's kind of a separate element of how you're getting people to your site. But that's also something that you can do in your follow-up process is encourage people to, hey, if you've gotten value from the information that I've provided here, forward this off to your friends. Tell your friends. And it could be as simple as a one or two sentences in a message that says, hey, we grow our business a lot through referrals. We'd love to have you refer us to some of your friends. You know, forward this message on to them so that they can learn about, you know, and list your top three or four benefits that you provide by you know, someone visiting your website there. So just asking people and kind of telling people what you'd like them to do can often be enough to encourage that process to continue to grow and grow very organically over a period of time.
That's more great advice. Now, I've read a little bit about you know, the importance of building a relationship with your subscribers, just from here and there, you know, a couple of special reports I've purchased and books I've read.
Sure.
Saying that, you know, the relationship and the rapport you build with your subscribers and customers is what's going to, you know, keep them coming back for more. So do you have any tips on what we can do, you know, early on in that relationship when someone first opts in to immediately strengthen that bond with our subscribers to kind of open their hearts and their minds up to us even more?
Sure. Well, sometimes I feel like I sound like a broken record, but, you know, a lot of that goes about that value equation. You know, what kind of value are you providing? Give them a free report of something. Give them your top 10 tips, you know, in your business, your top 10 golf tips, or your top 10 ways to save money on a real estate transaction. You know, 10 things to look out for when purchasing a new car. You know, 10 things to look out when you're purchasing a used car. We have, what are some other good examples of providing a lot of value? We have a number of plastic surgeons that use our service to educate patients about the, not only potent, you know, the kind of sales process per se of you know, various procedures, but also pre-surgery. You know, how do you prep for surgery to make it as comfortable as possible? You know, how do you recover? You know, what are the things that you can do to recover faster and with less scarring, and, you know, point people to various products to, you know, your vitamin E or whatever to minimize scarring and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, provide value in why someone wants to be on that list. And the more that you over deliver on that value equation, the more grateful they're going to be, and the more that they're going to be looking forward to your messages every time they come, versus, you know, someone signs up for your list and you just start pitching them on products all of a sudden and right out of the gate before you've really built that trust, then, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to unsubscribe, or they're going to complain and say, hey, I don't want this anymore. So that's, you know, it really is. I wish there was a magic bullet that I could say, you know, you could zap some, like, email to people and they instantly trust you, but it's something you have to earn. And you have to earn that through providing value.
Now, I know you have access to, you know, thousands and thousands of list owners' statistics and, you know, the raw data regarding, you know, open rates and all that type of thing. I'm just kind of curious, have you ever kind of dabbled around to see if there's, like, a secret formula as to how often you should mail your list? Because I know, for example, sometimes I'll sign up for a list and get, you know, 5 emails in the first week, and I just unsubscribe because it's overbearing. And then other
Sure.
times I'll sign up for someone else, and I don't hear from them for, you know, I get one email, and then I don't hear from them for a month, and I forgot I was even on the list. Is there, like,
Right.
a magic quotient to how often you should mail?
Well, there's kind of two sides to look at that. You know, just from what you just stated right there, you know, if you're doing, like, a monthly newsletter or something like that, you have to look at, is someone going to really remember you in between that month? You know, we're really looking at these days, you know, previously, a couple years ago, you could say you could probably get by with sending an email once a month. But these days, you probably want to send something at least once every 2 weeks or so. But at the end of the equation, it really boils down to setting expectations of how frequently you're going to send a message. If on your website you say, hey, I'm going to send you 5 weekly tips of, you know, whatever, they now know they're going to receive an email once a day. Monday through Friday, they're going to get an email. And that's something that you've set that expectation there, so they're going to look forward to that. And as long as you're meeting their expectations for what it is, the content of that email, then they're going to be happy receiving that. Whereas the site that you signed up for and they started sending you a daily update, they probably didn't tell you that ahead of time, did they? Did they tell you ahead of time that they were going to send you a daily email?
No, absolutely not. They don't tell you that.
Yeah.
I've noticed,
you know, whereas if you knew
say.
Ahead of time that they were going to do that, you'd probably be much happier about that. And it's really something that, you know, they can continue to send that daily email. They just need to tell people about it in advance. so that their expectations are not kind of upset or jarred that they're getting something that they didn't expect. So no one likes to be surprised for, you know, for the volume of email that they're going to get. You know, there's certain surprises in life that are good, but by and large, you don't like things that are unexpected.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. I know,
you know, generally, you can without telling someone, if you're sending an email more than two times a week, you're probably going to have issues with that frequency there. But at the same time, you don't want to send, you know, somebody that sends an email once a quarter or once a year, probably not a good idea, because permission really does, it ages over time, and people forget that they signed up for something. So unless it's somebody that you have a really, really tight relationship with, you know, you really need to be sending them a message, you know, at least every couple of weeks, you know, at the absolute longest a month. But if you haven't emailed somebody in 2, 3, 4 months, you know, a good 20 to 30% of those people have probably, A, either forgotten who you are, or their email addresses have gone bad, and they've just forgotten to update you because they don't think of you when they went to update their address before. So, you know, those things expire over time. So there's no good one specific metric. It's all about what you tell people is what you should do. You tell them you're going to email daily, email them daily. If you tell them you're going to email once a week, email them once a week on Tuesday or whatever day it is that you tell them to do. So, because that's kind of another myth, actually, is I'm sure you're probably going to lead into that, is like, what day of the week is the best day to send? The best day of the week to send is the day you tell people you're going to send. You know, generally, you'll hear through the market, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the best to send, where you get the highest open rate. But at the same time, it's the same day that everyone else sends. So everyone's mailbox is really full, and you're kind of competing for your recipients, your subscribers' attention on those days. So if you tell them they're going to send an email on Thursday or on Saturday or whatever, send it on those days, because they're going to be expecting and looking for it on those days.
That's more great advice. I'm taking notes here. Can you cover a few, like I told you earlier, this interview is kind of geared towards people who are starting off. A lot of these members will be starting off their first email marketing campaigns, but even for those of us who have lists, there's some good advice in here. But can you cover a couple of the, you know, deadly mistakes that some people make, you know, when they're first getting started with their email marketing campaigns?
For folks that are just getting started, one of the biggest mistakes that we see them make, kind of briefly summarizing, you know, not putting a form on their website. No one's going to get on your list if you don't have the form on your website. Not creating any messages. One message is better than none. You don't need 10. You don't need 40 to start with. You need one. Start with one and then work from there. But to get into a little further, one of the other really common things that we see people do is the from address, the email address that they use to send their campaigns from. Very often they'll use a Yahoo address or a Gmail address or a Hotmail address, some sort of free email address as their from line. And what happens is one, it doesn't look very professional. And two, it tends to affect your deliverability in a negative way, because ISPs know where email from Yahoo and Hotmail and Gmail generally comes from. And when it comes from somewhere completely different than that, they say, there's a much stronger potential that this is spam, this is unsolicited email. And thus it tends to get filtered a lot more heavily. So use your own domain name. Most folks have a domain name these days. It's really, less than $10, you can get your own domain set up, your own domain name, and get it hosted somewhere for a year. There's really no excuse for anyone to not have their own domain name, and use that as your from address. You know, a couple other common things is don't let your list go stale, because, you know, you might think, oh, I don't have anything new to say this month, or I don't have anything to say this week. You don't have to have a big, giant newsletter. All you have to have is a nugget. You know, people are time-strapped. It doesn't have to be a two-page long email, and in fact, I'd encourage it to not be a gigantically long email, because people don't read. You know, they scan messages and skim through them really quickly. So have one or two key points and leave it at that. Link to over to your website. You know, have some sort of call to action on what they should be doing next. If it's putting some of the advice into action, or if it's going to your website to read further, to read your blog. A lot of folks are generating revenue through, you know, blogging and putting information on the web so that they can earn advertising revenue. So how do you earn more advertising revenue? You get people to sign up on your list, and you get them back to your site over and over so that they end up clicking on your ads and leaving your site and generating more revenue. So you kind of do that over and over, rinse and repeat, and you're gonna bump up your earnings over time. But those are a couple of the really key things. You know, mailing too frequently. If you tell people that you're going to give them a free report and you don't mention anything about that daily email that you're going to start sending them, well, they're going to be a little ticked off about that, and your list is going to, you know, your deliverability is going to hurt because of that, because people are going to complain about your messages, and then people are going to unsubscribe as well. So it's better to, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but set those expectations and meet the expectations for people, and by and large, you're going to do very well with that campaign over time. Another thing that beginners kind of get hung up on sometimes is your list size. I always hear, you hear all the gurus and the big marketers out there and say, oh, I have this giant 10,000 person list, or I have 100,000 subscribers. Keep in mind that the businesses that have lists that are that size are in a very, very, very small minority. I'd much rather have a list of 300, 400, 500 subscribers, not 5,000. 500 subscribers that are eagerly awaiting my message, whenever I tell them that I'm going to send that, then have 5,000 that are kind of like, oh, I got another email from them, and they hit delete and don't read it. Because at the end of the day, the engagement of your messages with your subscribers, the more engaged your recipients are, the more likely your messages to go to the inbox and make sure that it continues to go to the inbox when people are telling their ISPs, yes, I want this message, and they're adding you to their address book, and they're really, 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 really rabid about eating up all the information that you send. Another really good thing that you should be doing that I didn't mention earlier is using confirmed opt-in. A lot of marketers call it double opt-in. Confirmed opt-in is the proper industry term for it. But basically what that means is when somebody types in a name and email address on your website, it's not necessarily their real email address. And think about it. When was the last time you went to a website and entered an email address that wasn't your own just because you wanted to get to the next page? Probably a good 30, 40, 50% of the time, most average folks do that. And what happens to those addresses? A lot of times they're invalid and they bounce right away and they never get any email. But those addresses that are real but don't belong to that person, if you're not using confirmed opt-in, then you're now sending them unsolicited email, and that's a bad thing for your deliverability. So use confirmed opt-in, and what that means is somebody goes to your website, they type in their name and email, they get an email message from you that says, please, we received a request for your subscription, please click the link below to confirm yes, you do want this. And that makes sure that all of the addresses on your list absolutely want to get your information, and over the long term, that list has a much higher value than a list that's not using that process and has a lot of dead or bogus email addresses on it that are affecting your deliverability in a negative way. So those are some of the kind of key tips about, getting started with email marketing and hitting the ground running on a really basic level.
Tom, you covered a lot of stuff there. this is an awesome interview. I know that this is one that, I'm going to have to listen to several times over. I'm going to probably stick this on my
I was
going to
say, that's why we record these things, so you can rewind and replay.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's one thing that's not on my list here that I wanted to hit real fast because you kind of brought it up. You mentioned that you suggest email marketers should have their own domain for, like, their from address and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that, depending which email you're using in your front line, it can affect your deliverability. Are there any tools out there for us to check our own domain names or URLs to see if certain ISPs don't like our URL? Is there a way to do that?
There's a couple different ways. There's a number of different free resources out there. If you just go to Google and punch in URL blacklist, it'll come up with a bunch of different tools where you can go to a website and look that up for free. We actually also, AWeber has another service called Delivery Monitor that allows you to, it's kind of a deliverability reputation monitor that allows you to see, if any of your messages, where your messages are showing up, if they're showing up in the inbox, if they're showing up in the spam folder, or if they're just completely disappearing. But at the same time, it watches the computers, the IP addresses that you're sending your email from, as well as the URLs, the domain names that are showing up in your messages to make sure that they're not blacklisted anywhere. But, you know, if you're following the basic guidelines of only sending email to people that have specifically requested it, you know, 99.9% of marketers out there shouldn't have any issues with getting blacklisted. You only generally get blacklisted if you deserve to get blacklisted, and making sure that, you know, you do everything. You use confirmed opt-in. You only send email to those that requested it. You provide value with what you're sending. You know, you ask for the subscribe on your website. Don't purchase list. Then, you know, most people don't need to worry about that ever. So.
Okay, it was just something that I kind of thought, you know, what if certain ISPs are blocking me altogether? You know, what can I do to fix that? But the way you make it sound, I really don't have anything to worry about. No.
Yeah, and that most people worry a lot about that, and in most cases, as long as you're doing everything above board, you're probably never going to have any issues with that.
Okay, good. You kind of put my mind at ease. We covered a lot of stuff. Now, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about AWeber. I've been an AWeber customer for, I think it's been close to 3 years now. I have about maybe around 6,000 active subscribers. Actually, I have about 8,500 who have opted in over the past couple of years. I have about 6,000 who are active, you know, some of them have subscribed. So I'm 100% sold on AWeber, and I highly recommend it. But I was hoping, since I've got you on the line, you obviously know a lot more about the company than I do, and I was hoping you could tell us about it.
Sure. Well, our 10-year anniversary is this summer, and basically we help small businesses manage their email list. Say we provide forms, we provide an easy way for them to create a form to put on their website, and then we create an easy way for them to log into their. Everything that we do is web-based. So basically, you sit at your computer and you're able to log into our website and access your account and create your email messages. Just like you said, actually, before we get on the call here, that you were in your account creating a message for one of your lists there. It's something you just simply log in and are able to create your messages, whether you're using just a plain text message or if you want to create a message with HTML using images and bold and different colors and so forth, you can do that as well. We have quite a few different templates that you can use. If you want to use one of our pre-formatted templates or if you want to use one of your own, you can do that. But then we also, not only do we provide the sequential follow-up process where it's like, you know, one message is received immediately and then the next message is sent 2 days later whenever someone subscribes, so on and so forth, but we also have just a general email newsletter. So if you just want to send out a weekly email newsletter to the people that visit your website, you can do that as well through a service. There's all kinds of other more advanced tools that, you know, it's really a service that, you know, like you said, Chris, you've been with us for 3 years, and I didn't dig in your account or anything, but I probably venture a guess that you're probably only using maybe even half the features that we have, you know, because we also have all kinds of split testing abilities where you can split test different headlines on your forms, you can split test different newsletters to see which subject line, you know, draws more interest or draws more clicks or draws more sales. There's a whole bunch of reports that you can see where you can dig into how many new subscribers you're getting, which web forms are generating the most subscribers. You can see where people are unsubscribing from. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff that you can kind of get out of your account to be able to know what email marketing is working for you and what isn't, and where you can tweak things and adjust as you go. So it's really a solution that, you know, really walks you through from getting started all the way up into the advanced marketer as your business grows. We also provide a ton of education. We have an entire education team here that does nothing but update our FAQs, our knowledge base area, where if you have a question about something or someone's ever asked us a question, in all likelihood, it's in our knowledge base, and if you search it, you'll come up with the answer. But at the same time, we also do several times a week, we do different webinars, whether it's from the very basics of getting started. And a webinar is basically where you go online and you're able to log into a website and see live video of our education team here. One of the guys on our education team will actually walk you through how to go from ordering an account to logging in for the first time and creating your message, you know, creating a message, creating a web form, adding that form to your site, and it's really something that's very easy to step through. But at the same time, we also have more advanced webinars. So as you get your footing and as you grow and as your list size grows, so you can take advantage of some of those more advanced tools and learn about them. But at the same time, we also have a very well-trained customer service team. I like to say that we have the best support team in the industry. And basically, we're accessible Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning Eastern time until 8 in the evening. So we're here 12 hours a day. And then we're also here on Saturdays from 9 to 5. And you can reach us both via email, phone, and we have live chat on our website. So just about any way that you can possibly think of to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us and get support on whatever needs or questions that you might have. We don't have anyone here on our team that has any sort of sales title. We really sell by educating, and that's something that everyone on our team is responsible for, is to educate people about proper email marketing and ethical email marketing and make sure that they're doing that right. You know, we charge based on the number of subscribers on your list. So you'd think from a business perspective that we'd want to have everybody have the biggest list possible. We do, but we want to make sure that you have a list that is engaged with you and something that is valuable to you. And just having subscribers on that list that don't really want your information in the long run is going to cause you a lot more problems. So I'd much rather see someone have 400 or 500 subscribers than have 50,000 subscribers that don't want their message. And that's really how we've built our business over the last 10 years.
That's awesome. The operation you have there at AWeber is, you know, second to none when it comes to this email marketing business. And I know that email marketing campaigns have become a huge profit center for my own business just because some of the affiliate marketing I've been doing with my list and, you know, sending them in towards products that I know they're going to like in exchange for a little commission or kickback. And you've given us so much advice and tips and even told us where we can go get a free education on email marketing that anyone who's been dragging their feet or kind of procrastinating on getting started with all this, you've just taken all their excuses away. So I'm even going to take it one step further, and I'm going to slap a link to AWeber inside my members area just to make it that much easier for members who are logged in listening to this call to just click right over and check it out.
Absolutely. And that's one thing, actually, that you know, like you mentioned, our webinars are free, and you don't need to be a customer to listen to any of our webinars. Just go to our website and look on the support tab for our webinars, or just in our search box at the top, type in webinar, 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 and you'll be able to find those, and we have a listing there that we update that a couple of times a week with the new webinars as we schedule new ones. And we have them both during the day as well as in the evenings that we're testing now. So it's something that you can get on and learn about email marketing. Even if you're not using AWeber now, you're using somebody else. You know, we're all about educating the small businesses on how to do email marketing right. And hopefully if we educate you enough and you learn enough from us that at some point, even if you're not using us now, that you might use us in the future. So that's why we put those out there free for everybody. So it's just a good thing to encourage good habits with email marketing.
Well, for those of you listening, I hope that you learned something from this interview. And if you feel that you didn't learn enough from this interview, Tom just told you where you can go to learn more. Thank you, Tom, for being on the call. We've covered a wealth of information here when it comes to email marketing. And like I said, this is one that I'm definitely going to have to stick on my iPod and listen to a few times because there's some golden nuggets hidden within the recording of this audio interview we've just done. So thanks again. I really appreciate you taking the time. And for everyone listening, make sure you go check out AWeber.
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Okay, we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely.